Many years ago in Sheffield, Alabama, a young man was working at an ironworks plant when he was thrown onto a red-hot armor plate. Those who looked on at him that day were horrified at what they saw before them. When the man was rolled off it, it was doubtful that he would make it. Someone cried out, "Send for a doctor." But the suffering man responded, "Never mind the doctor. I'm dying without God. Who can help me?" About 300 men that day stood, gathered as this man lay there dying, but no one responded to his plea to know God. After about 20 minutes, the young man died. One observer that day in that crowd was an inactive church member from a local church there in the community. And later he said, in a story that was quoted as saying, "I have heard those cries ever since that day, and I wish that I could have stooped down and pointed that man to Jesus, but the life that I was living closed my lips." How can anyone ever forget an experience like this one? Here was a human being in the greatest need of his life, and no one could help him. You see, few needs are this desperate in the world that we live in today. But people are walking around the streets of every town and every country searching for some kind of help. People are looking. They are in the schools all over the world looking afraid and trying to act tough. They are crying out for help and they're asking questions about God and the very existence of Him. They are searching for answers. They want friendship. They want to know God. They want to know that somebody cares. Who has a word for them? You see, our text today is about that very thing. It's the story in Luke's gospel, and it follows Jesus' appearance on the road to Emmaus. Jesus comes to his disciples, reassuring them of his presence and support. Then he reminds them of their role in all of this. He says to them in verse 48, "You are witnesses to these things. You are to tell these things to the entire world." You see, no word is more central to the Christian life than that word, witness. It sums up everything that a Christian is supposed to do and be. Christians are witnesses. You and I are witnesses of the gospel. You see, it's not a metaphor or a figure of speech. It's simply a matter of whether a Christian is going to be a good witness or a bad witness. Some people are clear about when witnessing happens and who does it. A lot of people will tell you it happened at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning and somebody called the preacher does it. That's when witnessing takes place. Sometimes even preachers begin to think this thing in themselves. That's bad thinking. You see, anthropologists have discovered a very primitive tribe that is deep in the jungles of South America. The most important role within this tribe is the keeper of the flame. Since fire is so precious and takes such an effort to recreate, one member is entrusted with keeping the flame alive. Think about that. We don't worry about it because what do we have? We have fire at our fingertips all the time. But think about years ago when you, some of you that are older, might remember having to keep a wood stove or a wood heater alive. What happens if you ever let the fire go out? Boy, you got in trouble, didn't you? It was not a good thing. But it had to be recreated. You had to start over again. You had to find a match. You had to find the right kindling. You had to do everything and get it started. But here out in this remote area, in this jungle, way back, the keeper of the flame is a very, very important job. It is something that keeps that flame alive, and that's an important job. Jesus called you and I, all of us, to be keepers of the flame. We are to keep alive His message. He spoke about this in various ways. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. If your light goes out and if you lose your saltiness, the cause is lost. These things are found only in you." You see, there is a story about a young minister who had in his congregation a lawyer who was a skeptic. The pastor long desired to see the salvation of this man. One week he learned that that lawyer was going to be in worship service on the following Sunday. So he prepared a sermon just for that special occasion. He was ready to just attack this guy. He knew what he was going to say. Shortly thereafter, the lawyer confessed his faith in Christ. The minister rejoiced. He asked the lawyer what portion of my sermon had especially affected him. And the lawyer said, "It wasn't your sermon at all. In fact, I didn't hear it. I was working on a brief all the while you were preaching. I didn't pay you no mind. But afterwards, as I came out of church on Sunday morning, I saw old Aunt Chloe trying to get down those slippery steps. I helped her down, and as I left, she looked up at me and she said, 'Oh, young man, I wish you loved my dear Jesus.'" With those words, she says, "I wish you loved my dear Jesus." Those words rang in my ears, and I couldn't get rid of them until I went back to my office and by myself. On my knees, I gave myself to Christ. It wasn't your sermon, but it was Aunt Chloe's words that led me to my Lord and Savior. You see, preaching is a very important thing, but the witness of lay people, the witness of Christians, is more important. People expect ministers to witness. That's what we get paid to do, isn't that right? But when a lay person witnesses, people really listen. When Fanny Brice, the renowned comedian, was offered a job by Florence Ziegfeld of the Ziegfeld Follies, she thanked his secretary that day and she politely left the office. Then she raced down to the theater. She grabbed people off the sidewalk to tell them that she would soon be working there. She was so excited that she had gotten this job. What would it mean if the followers of Jesus Christ left church this morning all across America with that kind of excitement in their hearts, anxious to get to the sidewalks and the streets, the highways and byways, anxious to invite a friend or even a stranger to God's house? Why, it would be the grandest, greatest invitation in the whole world. It wouldn't be an invitation to see a new performer or to enjoy a little entertainment. It would be an invitation to meet God and fellowship with those who love God. It could be the opportunity of a lifetime. You see, if we believers will just listen to the world, we will hear the desperate cries out there on the sidewalks. We'll hear them in the classroom. Sometimes we'll even hear them from the pews in which they sit. We'll hear people saying, "I'm dying without God. Who can help me?" In such moments, we can know no greater blessing than being the ones who know what to say, being the ones who know the answer, being the ones that says, "I wish you knew, my dear Jesus. All you got to do is come here and let me pray with you." Let us pray. Lord, we thank you so much this day for who you are. We thank you, Lord, for your word. And we thank you, Lord, that you have given us such an awesome job to be keepers of the flame. And we ask this day, Lord, that you allow us to not go from this place this day until we truly know what it is to have you living within our heart and our soul, so that we can truly go out of this place this day, and if we are ever asked the question, that we can truly tell somebody what it is to know you. Be with us now, for it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision this morning is "He Lives, He Lives," hymn number 310. Would you stand as we sing?